Bill Bedrick.
I believe it is. I believe that it starts the conversation. We're starting to examine ourselves.
I think we all remember Srebrenica.
This one called Rape Lay begins with a teenage girl on a
training.
Lesbian, your mom's a lesbian.
Not a bad idea.
World famous Phil Henry show every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about every single night. Truth is our bitch on this show, and on this show, we go through the looking glass here of talk radio. Coming up, Bobby Dooley will join us again, along with her husband, Steve Dooley, the president and vice president of the Western States Homeowners Association, on the this epidemic of bullying that now. And do we blame bullying? Do we blame the fragile mental state of some of our kids? Our kids, some of them, are fragile. They're fragile children, and they may not be able to take things that other kids can take. And the bullies are kids. And it's a tough topic, but to hear the stories that we heard today of that child in Massachusetts. Also joining us at the bottom of the hour, we will have Harry Shearer, the great Harry Shearer from The Simpsons, from Spinal Tap, from For Your Consideration, Best in Show. I mean, this cat just is kicks ass, a mighty wind, and of course Saturday Night Live. Harry Shearer, and he's got a new musical comedy album out called Greed and Fear, which is hysterical. So, Harry, at the bottom of the hour, 877-876-PHIL, our website, philhenryshow.com, where we have live streaming video and audio right now. You can watch and listen to the show on our website, philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. Go over there, get a backstage pass, and get your act together, okay? Because, baby, this is the new interactive world we're living in, huh? This is exactly what it's all about. I don't care where you live. I don't care if you're trapping baby seals along the Arctic Circle and you're outside of radio range. Baby, if you got yourself a laptop and a little bit of wireless, a little bit of Wi-Fi. Oh, you mean you don't? Well, maybe not that far north. In any event, 877-876-PHIL. All right, back on the line here, Bobby and Steve Dooley from the Western Estates Parent Teacher Organization. Ms. Dooley, we talked a lot last hour. We're going to get back to some phone calls here, but we did talk an awful lot last hour, and we seem to be at a opposing mindset about what is bullying and what is what you call and your husband Steve call teaching the child social skills and integrating the child into the social life of the school.
Exactly, yes.
All right, so where do you draw the line?
Well, sir, what do you mean by drawing a line? You see, the reason why I ask that question is that people will use a phrase like, where do you draw the line, in order to demonize or to cast into the suspect light what it is we are suggesting. All we're saying is, my goodness, listening to some of these women that have called your program tonight, all we are suggesting is that we teach our children how to take that social, what I call, higher social pressure. It is social pressure coming from kids in the school that, yes, you do eventually want to become friendly with. Yes, you do eventually want to be invited to their parties. Yes, you do eventually want to be drawn into their social orbit for a variety of reasons, and a lot of them are very self-serving. And so at what point do you tell a child whatever they've got to dish out you can take? You know,
tell them about the football.
Well, you know, thank you. I wanted to bring up something, Phil, and I suppose your listeners won't like this. When I was in high school, there were about four members of the varsity football team that were very attracted to me. To my way of thinking, it was like, big deal. You know what? Do they think they're so tough? Do they think they're going to intimidate me? Do they think that I can't handle all four of them? You know.
Oh, my God. Are you talking about being a high school student?
No, I'm not saying I did anything, but my mindset was, if it came down to it, yes, I could handle all four of them.
Lickety-split.
Lickety-split. And I know, too, your way of thinking, and to a lot of parents, it sounds wrong.
It sounds wrong. It sounds like the kind of thing I wouldn't want any young girl to be thinking. Boy, I'm so tough. You know what? If it comes down to it, I'll be able to take all four of those guys. And I think you folks at home know what we're talking about, sex, right?
Well, duh. You know.
What do you mean? What did you think of a kick fight?
Yeah, did you think of a kickboxing match?
No, that's.
Good Lord.
Yeah, like in karate.
Like some sort of sumo wrestling?
No. I didn't quite get it. But the fact is, I think it's sad for a teenage girl to think that.
Well, Phil, I think differently. I think that any kid that could say, you know what? You want my money? Here, have my money. You think I'm too fat? You think I'm not up to dieting? Is that it? Watch this. Do you think I'm not up to owning clothes that are as good as yours? Watch me. You see, we don't teach our children that. What we teach them is to resist. And what you get are those women that I spoke to last hour. Hard, masculine, thick. Their bodies are very thick. And I think in some way you could even make the case their thinking has become a little thick.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let's go back to our phone calls here with Bobby and Steve Dooley on the subject of bullying. Are we teaching our children to resist it? Is that the right way, or should they embrace it? Should they one-up it? Here is Amanda on the Phil Hendry Show. Amanda, you're on with Bobby Dooley. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Bobby.
Yes, hi.
Okay, let's have an adult conversation, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So first of all, respect me, and I'll respect you, okay?
Absolutely.
Just stop doing the okay? That would respect
See, right away you're laying down rules. Right away you're laying down rules. That's
okay.
Not adult. That's not adult, laying down rules.
Okay.
Well, she's not listening.
I believe that our nation... Okay, you're doing... Okay.
Well, I'm not... You said we were going to be adults, so you laying down a rule doesn't mean I have to abide by it.
I think what she's saying, Bobby, is that she'd like to talk without being interrupted.
Well, if that's what she's saying, she can say it. But you're saying you don't get to do
that
this.
That is what I'm saying. No, I'm saying let's be adults. And the first thing I'm saying is please do not do to me, okay?
Right, right.
I'm not.
I think that's a fair request.
Okay.
Well, it's a nervous thing.
Very good.
My turn
to speak.
Go ahead.
Okay. Is my voice feminine enough for you?
Let me ask my husband.
Yeah, so far.
My husband says so far.
Okay. Do I sound too fat for you?
See, that question, that eradicates the no rule. That was such an insulting question.
No, I'm asking.
All right, well, wait.
What is your question?
Am I too fat for you?
Your throat sounds as if there might be some fat pressing on your vocal cords. Yeah.
You want to know what it is? It's that we can't help if we get illnesses in our life. Even if we were in the military for many years and were very, very fit. Okay? It's my family history, not mine.
What do you have? Is it a fat gene?
No.
The fact is that Amanda's simply saying that Amanda has an illness or some sort of disability, right, Amanda? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. And can we leave it at that, Bobby?
Absolutely, Phil. Absolutely. But when
I can let her know what it is. It doesn't embarrass me.
Well, no, I don't.
One of the hottest cheerleaders at my school.
Yeah. Oh, no. Did you have bad things?
I had...
Oh, God. Would you, Mr. Dooley?
I had breast cancer. Uh-huh. Okay.
Oh, you had a double jump. Did they double up?
Oh,
all right.
I
want you, Mr. Dooley, to be quiet, and I want you, Ms. Dooley, to be quiet so I can hear Amanda and have a little bit of respect for her.
That doesn't bother me. That does not bother me. Okay.
See?
I believe that
very good reconstructive surgery now.
Okay. Yes, I know that. And I have the money to do so. Trust me. Okay.
And with Obama's help,
our country,
Mr. Dooley,
was founded on people who are not like everyone else. Ours will still be ran by the British. Okay.
Good point. Good point. A bunch of ADD
Americans,
people. Yeah.
The one thing that unites us all is being individual. That's why I'm allowing you to speak, and you're allowing me to speak. And we're allowing everyone to hear us on the radio. people were not allowed to be unique.
Mm-hmm.
This country would not exist as we know it.
Do you, have you ever modeled for one of those calendars?
All right, would you allow her to finish?
Okay.
What does that mean, modeled for one of those calendars?
Have you ever modeled for cigarettes? Because you sound like you have a heavy smoker's voice on the radio.
I have a Lauren Bacall alto, I've been told. That is the result of genetics. That has nothing to do with cigarettes. Although
okay.
I did smoke for 20 years, yes.
Well,
okay.
Either it was cigarettes or it wasn't cigarettes.
That's, you know, that's very
mm-hmm.
hypocritical, I do
mm-hmm.
believe, whenever you're speaking
well, you know,
about other people.
You know, I really think you shouldn't be talking to a woman that has both of her own breasts the way that you are talking.
Oh, you know something? I'm going to hang up on both of you if I hear any more of that again. Do you understand?
What did I do?
I don't like that kind of cheap shot.
Okay. So
unbelievable. I'll talk to your wife like that. I'll talk to you that way.
You know what?
I think you've been making fun of me. You've been making fun of me.
No, ma'am. Don't misunderstand me.
She never made fun of you.
I was not making fun of you until you started with me. I said let's have an adult conversation. Okay,
and we're
if you
having
cannot
an adult
hold on an adult conversation and you have to have your man fight your battles, then you are not a true woman, Mrs. Dooley.
Okay, you just pissed me off. You just
really?
Pissed me off, okay? Yeah. Man fights my battles for me. No man. Do men fight your battles?
Doesn't sound like she's got a man in the background there.
I don't need
Steve,
to have a man
here.
Fight my battles.
Steve,
and yes,
get
I am married. To a very
mm-hmm.
successful man. Okay?
What?
I don't need him
what
to
did
be
he
right
say?
Behind me.
What did he say after he found out about, you know?
Hey, Bobby, I said I was going to hang up if I hear that one more time. Now I've heard it one more time.
I didn't do anything.
Yes, you most certainly did with your mouth. And that, what did your husband say when he found out? I'll let you wrap up, Amanda, and then we do have to take a break. So you have come through quite a few storms, haven't you?
Oh, many, many. And you know what? My husband loves me just as much today as he did whenever we were dating.
Well, I bet he does. I'll bet he does. And that's you know what? Love
I have a true
is transcendent.
Adult relationship.
Yeah, and it's a transcendent thing.
No.
All right, Amanda, thank you very much. And,
okay, let me just say one more thing.
Okay, but I'll give you 30 seconds.
Oh, my God, she loves the hug.
Oh, my God,
you love to hog the
air. Like, my children respect me.
What is her question?
Okay.
Do your kids respect you the way her kids respect her?
No, my kids respect me better than her kids respect her. Oh.
That's what you think, ma'am.
You walked into that.
You know what?
You walked right into that.
Keep dreaming, lady. Keep dreaming.
You walked right
Bye-bye.
Into that.
All right, Amanda, thank you. Bye-bye. 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Oh.
Did I get her or what?
Oh, yeah. What a chop.
You know what? Both of you guys have no business advising children.
I have been spoken to very rudely tonight.
You got no business advising kids or anybody with the chop and the spaz and the, hey, how'd your husband react? And did you get a double shot?
Well, she said she had a double job.
877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Still to come, Harry Shearer here on the Phil Henry Show.
I have been treated so bad.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Oh!
Right. Two is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
No, I did not say that, Mr. Henry.
I didn't treat you rudely at all, Miss Dooley. We're back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show with Bobby and Steve Dooley, and I have not treated you rudely.
Well, you know, Phil, your program is called the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and I think that is it connotes a level of responsibility that you have to your audience and that you have to your advertisers and responsibility you have to the truth. And I think that saying my philosophy on raising children will lead to a destructive pattern on their side of things. I'm trying to solve the problem. And that woman, and I'll use the word, that bitch that said she doesn't need a man to back her up. I told my husband, Steve, to get out of this room. And when I was ready, I'd go and fetch him. Now, that's the kind of relationship I've got with my husband.
Well, I don't know if that's anything to be proud of.
And what do you mean by that?
What I mean by that is, I don't know it's anything to be proud of to say that when I'm ready for my husband, I'll go fetch him. You know, does that make your husband look strong? Does that make you look like you have a strong man?
Excuse me?
Does that make you look like you, Bobby Dooley, have a strong man in your life or just some dog that you go fetch?
I didn't call my husband a dog.
Well, when you say that you go fetch him, it makes him sound like a dog.
My husband is a man who knows when I need to take care of something, and he can... That's right. He can get the hell out. Get out of my...
877-876-PHIL. Let's go to another phone call here. We have Winona. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Yes. Winona, go ahead, please.
Yes. First, I'm going to tell you, I'm 36 years old. I'm an African-American woman, and I want to address you and not her, because I don't want her to...
Yes, ma'am.
So,
yes, ma'am.
Say, you know what? I'm really...
Yeah. Go ahead.
I'm really upset at the fact that she's...
Would you be quiet, Ms. Dooley, for the 50th...
Blanking is over the fact that a young woman lost her life. A young child lost her life.
I don't know anything about that.
Father lost her child.
That's exactly correct. That's
a slap in the face. It's like a slap
I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about other cases.
You really
have only said what I think
is
going to stop this.
All right, wait a minute.
This will stop this epidemic. That's what I'm interested in.
What?
I said this will stop. This will stop the epidemic. That's what I'm interested in. Stopping this epidemic.
Of children killing themselves.
No, of swine flu. Yes.
Anyway.
What am I talking about? I'm talking about children killing themselves.
Exactly.
You've heard about that.
I'm appalled. I'm appalled.
Exactly.
That you're sitting here on the phone, on this show, talking about...
I'm standing.
And I'm like, I've been standing. This family lost a kid. Are you
right.
For real? Really?
Right. This family lost this child. And
yes.
Bobby, for you to say that there was a chance that that any kid can save their own life by just conforming to some of these slobs.
I'm saying there are ways of outthinking them.
I was a cheerleader. I was on the dance team. I did all the sports. I did everything. And guess what? I was still bullied. But I'm still here.
Wait a minute. If you did all the sports and you were a cheerleader, I don't know.
Shut up.
No one tells me to shut up.
Shut up.
No one ever tells me that.
Unheim, all these people all night long. So shut up. While I talk. Okay?
Steve.
So now.
Shut up.
We have these children in these schools. First of all, she hung herself in the school, right? Did she?
She did not in the. I don't believe in the school, Winona. I believe that it took place. This child. She hung herself in January.
Matters where it happened. It happened.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be sensitive to the fact that her parents, her family, and everything. And she is not being sensitive to that, and that's what makes me upset.
My husband wants to talk to you.
Hello?
She does not care.
I understand that. I understand you're an African American woman, and you told a white woman to shut up. Now, I know that.
Will you get him off the phone?
What?
It's okay, Winona. It's all right, Winona. We're going to hang up on them.
Oh, you're going to hang up on me? You know what? The day hasn't been invented.
And you're on time, and
she's gone.
Yeah.
Winona, thank
Whatever.
You for contributing tonight. I appreciate it very much. Thank you. 877-876-PHIL. And coming up is Harry Shearer, the writer, director, the satirist, the comic. Harry Shearer next on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. You know, I'm actually looking at this story, and we were tangentially referencing the story of this girl that hung herself in January. I really don't know where it took place, folks, and I suspect that the caller was right. It doesn't really matter. All right, Harry Shearer next on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and Jay Santos coming up later on. Citizens Auxiliary Police.
Phil Henry.
Phil Henry Show, and we're very proud to have on the line here this evening Harry Shearer. I say on the line, Harry's in New Orleans, Louisiana this evening, and Harry is well known to all of you. He's an actor, an author, he's a director, he's a musician. More than anything else, the way I discovered Harry Shearer, he's a satirist, and he's funny as hell. His voice, of course, his characterizations are heard on The Simpsons, and Harry's going to tell us about The Simpsons and a lot of other projects, as well as on the big screen. Harry, the only movie that comes to mind is Godzilla, and I know that you've done other things, and so, but I
well, it was the
Harry
biggest movie I've ever. It's the biggest movie I ever did. Phil, I have to say, first of all, I feel yes. so intimidated because I feel as if you're doing me. I don't feel what? Like I'm actually a guest on your show. I feel like you're doing me, and I'm home.
That I'm tossing my voice. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
That,
exactly. Because you've been known to do that. Yeah.
Well, a human being, a person can exist, and yet when they're talking to me, they'll say, are you doing my voice too? Because it's just how I've gotten to know you. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Harry,
I feel like
you've
Margaret,
also got
I feel like I feel like Margaret Gray. Let's do just
yeah. Well, then that in and of itself is a whole
that's a whole other thing.
Thought. I don't know.
Yeah.
Hey, Harry, you've got an album out and a comedy album, and I say a comedy album because when's the last time we don't often hear about comedy albums the way, but when you and I were growing up, here comes a new Lenny Bruce album. Here comes a Bill Cosby album. Here comes a Jonathan Winters album, you know?
Yeah.
And they were,
yeah.
they were charting, albums. You have one called Greed and Fear.
Yes, but it's not a spoken word, comedy album, which distinguishes it from the stuff that we grew up with, because I found right. out to my displeasure that, those sink like stones these days. But this is songs, comedy, humorous songs.
That's awesome.
About our
yeah.
about our economic nightmare.
That is awesome. And yeah. I know that your wife Judith is Judith on the album at all?
She sings one song. It's all okay. songs about people or the strange phrases that have cropped up in this little economic speed bump, I guess we've been going
yeah,
through.
Yeah, just a small.
Small
it's
hitch.
Small thing. Yeah.
Small
yeah.
hitch in our giddy up. that's a Paul Harveyism. I'm sorry. A small hitch
it
in
is, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. it is. So she sings this song called Bonus Baby about her boyfriend who is a you know, big trader or hedge fund guy and who's gotten a big bonus and, you know, they're asking for him to give it back. And he ain't gonna.
He's not gonna do it. He's not going to do it. All right. Hey, I do have, now that we've talked about Judith, I don't have her singing here. We have one called Goldman Sachs.
Oh,
from
yes.
The
Mr.
forthcoming,
Goldman.
Yes. Mr. Goldman and Mr. Sachs? Or is it just yeah. Mr. Goldman Sachs? Yeah.
Mr. Goldman
well,
and Mr.
It.
Sachs. It's okay. You know, it occurred to me at some point reading about all this stuff that they're the two luckiest guys in the world, Mr. Goldman and Mr. Sachs. They seem to end up, you know, however crappy the situation turns out to be, they end up making money off it. You know, they end up having somebody who's one of their representatives usually running the Treasury Department. So I
well,
thought
let's
that,
listen to this. Yeah, here's a clip of the song. I don't know. Maybe we'll hear the guy. That's pretty interesting. So maybe this is Tim Geithner singing. This is actually from Harry's album, Greed and Fear, Goldman Sachs.
Wall Street, our name should be up
That is an impression of Timothy Geithner there, isn't it? I thought I heard the nasal. There's a little bit of a nasal congestion or something there. That's great, man.
Actually,
and that's also
It's actually done in the style. I don't know if you know the English band, the Pet Shop Boys.
Yes.
Yes. So it's sort of an homage to the Pet Shop Boys.
Now that you mention that's outstanding, man. And I can hear it. I wish like I was saying, back in the day when KMET would roll all that credibility gap, you know, it was the first place I ever heard you, man, was on actually on KRLA. I don't want to start talking back in the day because people are going to be like lost. But Harry, you were a part of, and this is the thing that's very heavy. Harry was a part of the greatest newscast, the greatest hourly newscast that was ever put on radio. It was one every hour. You and the rest of the credibility gap, Lou Irwin, and I think David L. Lander others produced every hour a running satirical review of the day's events, capped off by a song. And who was the guitar player, the singer?
Len Chandler.
Len Chandler would then write a song about the big story. Like, the only one that I remember is about the draft. And the lyric was, they can draft your ass and they can, something about how they can draft your ass and they can tax your ass and they can do this to your ass, but my ass is mine, I think was the name of the song. That's where, tell me about that experience, man, of like a local radio station. There's no syndication, this is Los Angeles, there's enough people, but you guys are like running your asses off every hour for 5 minutes doing a sketch comedy segment.
Yeah, it was an interesting experience. It was a radio station that was a rock and roll radio station. It was constantly finishing second to the dominant station in the city at that point, which was Boss Radio,
and
So they were desperate for something, and so we were the you know, that's always, I think you found this as well, Phil. The best place to work is always the place that is desperate and doesn't have a clue. Because once they think they've figured it out. You're gone. You know?
You're gone. No, you're gone. Right?
You're so gone. So, you know, it was a place that was like flailing. And we came in and Lou Irwin started this. And as soon as it got popular, and it did get popular, we were the focus of incredible resentment by the DJs. Because their attitude was, well, we're supposed to be the popular ones. You're the freaking news department. What business do you have getting phone calls and letters? Yeah. So it got kind of strange.
Oh, but that's what I remember fondly from that era of KRLA. I remember the disc jockeys, you know. And
you don't remember Johnny Dark? You don't remember Johnny Darren?
I don't remember those. I remember Casey Kasem coming out of the studio and saying hello. In fact, this is how short I was, Harry. You know how short Casey is. I was looking up at him as if he was Godzilla. So
Lord.
3 inches tall?
Wow.
So Harry, you leave that experience, and off you go for the next several years. You wind up at Saturday Night Live. Now, you've got some things to say, my brother, here about Saturday Night Live, as well as The Simpsons, that I've got to hear about, man. I mean, Saturday Night Live is one of those seminal moments in television that you can never be recaptured. Everybody tries to run where lightning just struck, as you know the old saying. But and that's what they've been trying to do with Saturday Night Live, is trying to run to the spot where they struck lightning, you know.
Yeah.
When you were there, it wasn't a pleasant experience. Was it a less than favorable experience? Tell me.
you're sugarcoating it, Phil.
Yes.
You're making it sound... less hellish than
it
actually
fun.
Was. It was like a picnic in the park every day. No, it was. You've had. I'm gonna guess, because you've been in radio. You've had some bad bosses.
Oh, now you're sugarcoating it. obviously.
Okay,
yeah,
so I had
Yeah.
So I just had the worst of the bunch. That's all.
Was he Lorne Michaels is Jewish. Did he make a comment about hiring Jews?
The very first thing he said to me when I went to work there, I met him in the he was producing a show for Gilda Radner, so we met in the audience of the Winter Garden Theater in New York in the afternoon, because my welcome aboard meeting, and basically the first thing out of his mouth was, you know, I've never hired a male Jew for the company before. I've always gone with that Chicago Catholic thing. That was fair warning.
Well, what, you know? What is that about? Is that just a Jewish guy kibitzing with another Jewish guy, or that was like a serious?
No, that was just a warning that he had a particular animus for people who hadn't hidden, who hadn't worked as hard at hiding their Jewishness as he did.
as he had, huh? Okay.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. That's my guess. I mean, I literally, Phil, I spent the entire – I figured I'm a smart guy, so every week I'd come in with like a different theory of how to solve this. Yeah. And, it had a number of – we just mentioned there one little – thing that just sort of set my neck hairs.
Well, I mean, I don't want to pull the scab off of something, but I all of us as fans of the show, all of us know that the show has gone through. You can be a very casual viewer of Saturday Life and see how it's changed over the years, and sometimes, sometimes it's been brilliantly, amazingly funny, and other times you scratch your head and you go, I think, what are they? How come they're not funny? Are they? Well, I don't know. I'm not in showbiz. And then you say to the guy, well, they're working too hard. Oh, okay, thanks. So that's what we as viewers see there. And I'm sorry that you didn't have a very good experience there, Harry. So we'll move past that now.
Let me just say, I don't think most people who work there have a good experience. Good years or bad years, there's one thing that's very consistent about the show. People, you can always see the eyes of the actors darting sideways and down because we're always reading cue cards on that show.
Was that your sense? Was that always the case? It seemed to me with I hate to sound like the old guy, but here I go back to the days of Bill Murray and Gilda mm-hmm. Radner, and I think of how improvisationally brilliant those people were. You would never imagine them needing a cue card to work.
Well, I'll tell you what the director of the show said to another actor when I was on stage with him doing camera blocking for that show. And he said, hey, you can do that, but I won't see you. Meaning he directed it by the script. So if you wanted to improvise, you could do that, but you wouldn't be on camera.
Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough. Yeah. I want to talk to you about The Simpsons and more on greed and fear. We're talking to Harry Shearer, guys. Harry's with us from New Orleans this evening. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Show here with Harry Shearer, actor, author, director, musician, satirist. His latest is a comedy. It's a musical comedy album on CD called Greed and Fear, available digitally right now from Cougarette Records. Outstanding.
Courgette.
Courgette.
Yes, which is the...
I'm reading it the way a guy from New Orleans would read it. Aren't you from New Orleans?
I live in New Orleans most of the year, but I'm from L.A.
You're from Los Angeles. You know that in New Orleans, Harry, everything is Carondelet and Chandelet and Calmet.
Burgundy.
Burgundy,
yeah.
So anyway, it's Courgette Records, okay. And Harry, we were talking about Saturday Night Live and then The Simpsons, which you've been on for thousands of years.
Yes, since dinosaurs walked the earth.
It was since Godzilla walked the earth.
Yes.
Now, what... Tell me about that show, because, you know, I know Matt Groening. I've always found him to be a nice man, but you work for him.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And people will say the following. Oh, well, you know, the Flintstones, man, when they changed Wilma's voice, it didn't matter. I still watched the show. When they changed Barney's voice, Mel Blanc, I think, stopped doing it. Some other guy. It doesn't matter the show. Did you guys come up against that with The Simpsons when you were sort of digging your heels in on the money?
Early on, I think year seven, the then head of Fox told the New Yorker, "We can get people off any high school campus in the country to do these voices." So that was always Fox's attitude. As it turns out, of course, they could get anybody from a high school campus across the country to run Fox. So he was half right.
That's truer than people listening know. Honest to God. Honest to God. So with that in hand, with that quote in hand, you guys went in there and said, we want more money, regardless of the thoughts of the higher-ups.
Yeah, it occurred to some of us that the show was sort of spinning off revenue at an astonishing rate, having been an internationally huge hit show. And mm-hmm. after about 7 years of getting low-grade, the network was just starting out. They got a special dispensation because we need another network around. Mm-hmm. So after about 7 years of that, we decided maybe now it's time.
Mm-hmm. Well, and they were, they were making news. They're making history, knocking off CBS and ABC and NBC, and suddenly all this money. Yeah, like you said, suddenly there's all this money. Mm-hmm. I want to ask you about money. First of all, do you have any? And secondly,
I got five on me.
I'd love to have some. Here's the thing, and it's always been my feeling, and you addressed this in your comedy album. While we talk about the government and while we talk about the labor unions, which, by the way, I just found out that I forget the name of the company. Oh, American Airlines. After they got the labor union to give back a certain amount of money, the next day they're giving out bonuses to their executives. Mm. So I've heard this bash on unions. And I've said on the show, I said, why are we reluctant to say that our business leaders, our industry leaders, the people that run our companies are inept and stupid? And I could use other words, you know. Yeah. Why is there always, you talk about a pass, why is always this pass given to the private leadership, but the public, those guys are hung out to dry?
Phil, they're job creators. You know that.
They're job creators in India. And
job destroyers in Detroit.
Although there's a whole lot of nanny gigs that they're – yeah, there's a lot of nanny jobs that they create, and there's a lot
indeed.
Polish the bumper on the limousine, sir. Yeah. That's
why I loved the thing that was going on regarding Jay and Conan, because it sort of revealed to anybody who had a functioning brain – exactly how stupid the executives who run television are. And they're not different from the executives of many other companies. I mean, every single move in the whole Jay Conan thing was wrong. Done the wrong way, ill-conceived, executed poorly, with no sense of either what was good for business or what was good for people. And I think that's a fair portrait that they drew of themselves.
Well, it is a fair portrait. And by way of maybe adding my explanation or my footnote to what you're saying, Conan O'Brien's the future. Conan O'Brien is good content. It's audience loyalty. It's looking down the road 5-10 years as to what is the best product to put in here, and they sacrifice that for a quarterly bump in earnings. That's essentially what you're saying. That's what you got.
Well,
with the Jay Leno.
Yeah, but they screwed it up at the other end too, because Jay was the number one guy on the Tonight Show when they said, Jay, you're going to take a walk. They might have found another way to handle all that and keep Conan, but they just kicked the can down the road for 5 years and then went, oh my God, what are we going to do? Let's put Jay at 10 because then we can save some money. So it was all screwed up in every possible way.
Yeah, and this is continuing. I wonder if there's anybody, right now, Harry, and feel free to comment on this. Major radio corporations, my industry, are worth less than a dollar a share. I don't know where Sirius is right now. I don't know where ABC. I mean, these guys were worth less than a dollar a share. There comes a point where you stop blaming your disc jockeys or your the talent pool not being there. We got a talent pool problem at the – we got a talent pool problem with – people that run these companies, right?
Yeah, yeah. I noticed it was a year ago that the company that owns what used to be the ABC radio stations and the ABC radio network was selling – the stock was selling a year ago, Phil, for a penny. Yeah. Single penny. That's
ABC.
Value. That's added value.
Yeah. Well, we got the price right where we want it, and we can start buying the stations back, Bill. Yeah.
That's right.
Harry, it's great talking with you, man. I appreciate it
you
so
too.
Much. I wish you all the success. Where about? I lived in New Orleans. I was on the West Bank, though, over with the blue collar. Where are you in the city there on Caron? Are you down there on the Esplanade, as they say?
I am in the French Quarter, sir. Yeah.
Oh,
I love
thing.
The French Quarter. Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing.
I'm in the quiet part, away from the you-know-what.
I know where the quiet part is, a little bit down away from Bourbon Street, and it gets very residential.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous. It's beautiful down there, man.
Yeah.
Hey, Harry, all the luck in the world to you. You're one of the greats.
Thank you, sir.
And
thank you.
Don't forget
I'm a fan of yours.
Pick up Harry. Thank you, brother. Hey, pick up Harry's album, Greed and Fear, iTunes.com. Check it out. Harry Shearer, folks. See you, Harry. World famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back.
Phil Henry.